I want to welcome you here today. We're so glad to see you. How about that extra hour of sleep? How'd that work out for you? We want to welcome those worshiping with us online again today. You know, earlier in the first service, I was talking to people beforehand, and they said, you know, they had a family member years ago who forgot to spring forward. And so what happened was they got there to church late, and they got there after it was over and everybody was gone, but they didn't realize the time had changed and they thought it was the rapture. They were concerned about it. They got out and started praying because they were worried about it. So listen, I want you to be kind today. If somebody comes in as we're going out, be kind to them. It could happen to you next year, okay? We don't want that to happen. Now, today we're going to look at an attribute of God. It's one of the most widely believed, and yet it's one of the most often doubted attributes of God. We're going to talk about God as being loving. In fact, we're going to talk about God as being a loving heavenly Father. Those words, loving Father, they have an impact on us. You know, your relationship with your dad can have an impact on how you see God. Maybe you had a relationship with your dad. He was a good dad. Maybe he was not so good. Maybe he was an absent dad. Maybe he didn't have time for you. Well, as a pastor, there's a common thread that I see. And a lot of times when folks have problems, that could be the issue that they're facing. Since 1995, there's been over 15 million children on average who live in a single mother home. And there are a lot of folks who have daddy issues. Now, whether you had a good dad or a bad dad, you still might have an issue. And so I want you to look at God today through the scripture and see how he really is who he is portrayed in the scripture. It says there in 1 John, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Isn't that a great word? Because we are his children, because he does love us. He cares about the details of our lives. He cares about our relationship with him. And so there are two different kinds of people today. You've probably heard this described a lot of different ways. Sometimes you talk about two different kinds of people. But have you heard this particular one? There are shouters and there are doubters, okay? Now, the shouters are the people who say, hey, I love God and God loves me and I'm so grateful to have a relationship with him. And I know that I'm a Christian and I walk with him and talk with him every day and he blesses me and it's such a benefit to go through life with him. Then there are the doubters who say, well, you know, if God loves people, how could God possibly love a person like me? I just doubt that he loves me. And even among the shouters, there are some doubters because all of us from time to time might say to ourselves, you know, I'm just not sure that God could love me. I'm not as the person I want to be. I'm not as good as I want to be. I don't do things right. Sometimes I make mistakes. Could God love me? Now, we talk about a loving Father, and I wonder today if you could look beyond the relationship you have with your dad and just look at the scriptures we're going to talk about today to help you see who he is. Because, hey, it's great if you got a good dad, but if your relationship with your dad's not been good, then maybe that's really affected you and how you see God. Maybe you had a great dad. He showed up for every ball game. He took you fishing. He taught you about the great things in life. Or maybe when you think about your dad, it just brings up a lot of hurt and pain in your life. Regardless of how you grew up, we need to acknowledge that it can have an effect on our view of God. Today, we're going to talk about, has anybody ever questioned God's love? Because if you don't think God can love you today, I want you to be encouraged. You don't have to wonder and you don't have to doubt because God loves you. You're searching for approval. You're looking for affirmation. You're looking for acceptance. And perhaps you just need to know that God loves you. You've come to the right place because this message is for you. There are some of you growing up, somebody said that you were worthless. Somebody said that you weren't worth anything. Somebody declared negative things over you and it's affected you. And maybe today God brought me here just to remind you of who you are for him. He has called you. He's equipped you. His Spirit lives inside of you. And maybe that's all you needed to hear today. I have a friend who, growing up, his father was very, very ugly to him. And he told him he would never amount to anything. And he said it in very descriptive ways. And it really broke his heart. And he was not that old. But he was so upset that his daddy said that to him that he moved out of his house and moved in with his grandmother. And he lived with her for many, many years. Later on, he became a Christian. When he became an adult, he went back and he found his dad. And he went to him and he said, "Now, Dad, I want to tell you something. I forgive you for the way you treated me. Because I'm a Christian now, and I've learned that God has forgiven me, and I need to forgive others, and I want to forgive you." And his father didn't know what to do with that, because his father wasn't used to that kind of behavior, because his father was not a Christian. But it had an impact on him, and he said he was able to let it go and live that way. Now, we're going to look at a father today in Luke 8, beginning with chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. And we're going to see something special about him. We're going to read through this because it's a powerful scripture. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." And at this point, she knows that she's been found out. And it says this in Scripture, "When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and she fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. 'Daughter,' he said to her, 'your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Now, let's watch this video.
Just the fringe. One touch. One thread. Just the edge. Only a thread.
You! I know you. Get away from him.
Stop it, please.
Rabbi Yussi! This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please. I have a promise. I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please. We can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
No, please, just a moment. Just guide me.
Who touched me?
Everybody back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. But I'm so glad that we found each other.
So you've got this earthly father, and he's trying to take care of his daughter, and she lay dying. And he goes and he finds Jesus, and he does what any dad would do. And he says, I need you to come. My daughter is dying. I want her to be healed. Can you make her well? He's a religious leader in the synagogue. And what we know about religious leaders in those days is that most of them didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. But this man is willing to risk his reputation. He's willing to lose his job if that's what it takes to save his daughter. He's a good dad. And so he goes after Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus agrees to go with him, to walk with him. Yes, I'll walk with you to your house. And Jesus goes with him and they start to walk. But then what does Jesus do? He stops. He stops because you must believe that Jairus at this point must be a little disappointed. Don't stop. I've got you this close. My house is not far away. My daughter needs you. She's dying. But he stops. And maybe he's a little disillusioned by what Jesus has done. Why are you stopping? At this moment, his perception of Jesus may change just a little bit. And that same thing can happen to you and me. Maybe it's your dad who called you something when you were little and you were crying and that hurt your feelings. Maybe your father was absent. He worked all the time. Maybe he didn't have time for you. Or maybe you just never got to know him. Perhaps it was some coach or some teacher or some friend or some parental figure. And they said something that hurt you. And it caused a wound and you became disappointed and disillusioned with them ever since. And here's what happens. That earthly relationship affects how we see God. But I want to give you three lies that are typically what people say they believe about God, but they're not true. The first one is that God is a God of judgment. He judges me by my mistakes. He judges me by the things that I've done wrong. The truth is, though, that God is actually compassionate. You can see his compassion in Jesus when he heals this woman. The psalmist says it this way, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." The second lie is that God is angry. He's just waiting for me to mess up. He's just waiting for me to fail. He's going to lose his temper and he's going to strike me down, but that's a lie. The truth of the matter is that God is very patient. He's a patient father. The Exodus says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The third lie is that God is hateful. There's no way that God could love someone like me. I've messed up too much. I've got too many sins in my life. I keep doing the same thing over and over again that I don't want to do. How could he possibly love me? But the truth of the matter is that God is love. The book of Romans said, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And it's my hope today that the scriptures will speak to you and help you understand what God says to you today, that you will see him as a loving heavenly father, that you will see him for who he is. Let's go back to our story. We've got these two daughters. There's a 12-year-old girl who lay dying. She has no control over her situation. She can't get up. She can't go to Jesus, but she has a dad who can and who does. And then you've got a woman who's been suffering for 12 years. Let me just give you some details about her life. For 12 years, this woman has been hemorrhaging. She spent all of her money trying to find a cure, but she can't. Because of her disease, she's considered ceremonially unclean. And that basically meant that she couldn't touch anything or anyone without making them unclean. I want you to think about going 12 years of your life without having the basic needs met for human touch. 12 years without being able to love or embrace someone else. 12 years without hugging or kissing someone. 12 years of being completely abandoned, completely ostracized by society. She couldn't touch anything or anyone. If she sat on anything, it was considered unclean. And nobody speaks up for her until Jesus. You see, we all need healing. We all need it or we'll die. The truth of the matter is we all have wounds and we all need the healing that only God can give. How do we experience the love of our Heavenly Father? There are three ways today, and it shares with us in Scripture. First, he walks with us. I want you to know that he walks with us. Jesus walked with Jairus. He was headed to his house. He was going to see his daughter. Whatever your situation is today, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, what I want you to know is Jesus says yes to you. I will walk with you. In Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. The truth is that so many people are walking through life alone. And when you walk through life alone and you have challenges, you don't have anybody to face those with you. Maybe you get bad news, but you have no one to share it with, no one who will walk with you through that. Maybe you have a family member who's sick. They have a terminal disease, but you're walking by yourself, and there's no one to inspire you and encourage you and to pray with you for healing for your family member. Maybe you're walking through life, and someone betrays you, but you have to carry that pain alone because there's no one to walk with you. Or maybe there's something really good. Maybe you got a promotion. Maybe you want to celebrate, but there's nobody to celebrate with you. There's no one to cheer you on. You're just alone, and doing life alone stinks. But when you walk with Jesus, he changes everything. And you know why? Because Jesus loves you. Amen. And when someone like Jesus loves you and he walks with you, that's going to have a tremendous effect on you. Let me pause for just a moment and talk to those of you who may be single today. Maybe you're going through life and you're just going through life with someone who tolerates you, but they don't really love you. Maybe you're going through life with somebody who says they worship the ground that you walk on, but the minute you mess up, they're out of there. Don't hang out with people who just tolerate you. Don't spend your life walking with someone who does not love you. Find someone who loves you. It makes all the difference. Jesus walks with us and he shows us his love for us. And then the second thing is he stops for us. Not only does he walk with us, but he stops for us. He stopped for the woman who had an issue of blood. He was going to Jairus' house. He had a little girl to raise from the dead. But he stopped because somebody needed him. God has been stopping for you and me since the beginning of time. In 6 days, he created the universe. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He stopped. He rested, and he taught you and me to stop too. He taught us what it means to rest. From creation until now, he stops for you and me. And here's the thing. If you feel unlovable today, he stops for you. If you feel unworthy, he stops for you. If you feel like you've failed beyond forgiveness, he stops for you. If you feel unseen or unknown or overlooked or like nobody listens to you, he stops for you. And when you reach out to Jesus, guess what? He will stop for you. He will stop whatever he's doing, and he will walk with you. And he's not just going to leave you behind. Listen to me. Today, he's walking by, and he's stopping for you. Right now, in this service, Jesus is here. And no matter what you're facing, and no matter how hard your life is, and no matter what's been going on this past week, and no matter what crisis you're going through, Jesus is stopping for you. And finally, he talks to us. Multiple times in Scripture, you see in the story, he talks to the woman, and then this progression happens. She goes from being ceremonially unclean, ostracized by society, and then becomes a part of the crowd, but they're not through. Then she reaches out, and she touches Jesus, and in an instant, she is healed. And he looks at her, and he calls her daughter. Did you know this is the only time in Scripture where Jesus calls someone daughter? She goes from being one of the crowd to being a daughter of the living God. She experiences the lavish love of God poured out on her as he labels her his child. Maybe you've gone through life and someone has labeled you and it's been ugly. But what I want you to see today is that God wipes away those labels and he marks you as a child of God. You are a child of God. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. He marks you as his child. He walks with us. He stops for us and he talks to us. But what happened to the little girl who lay dying? The daughter of Jairus. How many times have you and I thought when Jesus stops to try to take care of someone else that he's left us behind? He's not paying attention to me now. We were going to my house. My daughter's dying. We've got to go. We don't have much time. And Jesus just stops and he takes care of the needs of this woman. I wonder how many times we say, you know, God, you're just not big enough to help me and everybody else. So what happens to this 12-year-old girl who's dying? Some men come and they find Jairus before he gets there. And they say, don't bother. It's too late. She's already died. Don't bother the master. There's nothing he can do. But I want you to see that when all hope is gone, when it seems like the end has arrived, when it seems like there is no way out, that's when Jesus steps in and he says, wait a minute, I have the last word. And so what does he do? He walks with Jairus. He goes to the house. He stops there and he kneels down beside the little girl and he grabs her by the hand. And in Luke it says, but he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Let's watch.
Michal.
Where were you?
I was finding this mess.
She is dead and you were gone. Why would you just leave us like
that? Trust me. Please trust me and trust him.
For what? For what?
Please. Please. Please.
I know. I know. No.
Everyone in this room, please listen to me carefully. Simon, James, John, Jairus, Michal, and Nili. None of you are to say a word about this to anyone under any circumstances. Do I make myself clear? No one. Not even to the others.
Yes, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
It is not yet time for the commotion that will result. None of you need the attention. Not all of it will be good.
Whatever you command, we shall do.
Nili, you must be hungry.
How can I thank you? I don't understand what you did, but...
You're welcome. Let's just get Nili something to eat first.
Oh, wait. Nili, come on. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no other words. Thank you.
Thank you for your faith. I pray that more in the synagogue will share it.
So you see, your situation may appear dead, and it may appear hopeless, and it may appear that your relationship that you've been fighting through is just not going to work out. Or maybe it's an addiction that you've been battling with, or maybe it's a problem with your finances. You may even feel like that Jesus has stopped working for you and he's focused on someone else. But I want you to know we have a Father who is big enough to take care of all of our needs today. And he's not done working for you. And he's not going to stop. His love is big enough for the woman and for the little girl and for all of us and for everyone else in the world today. And this woman and this little girl both needed the love of the Father. And through struggles and pain and through a choice, they received and believed. And now they know this loving Heavenly Father and what He can do. And it's so important because we need to realize that a Father's love is not just for us. When God touches our lives, He's not just doing that for our benefit, but He's doing it so that we might bless other people. Let me tell you about what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you about, I was at the end of my rope and I didn't know where to turn. When there was no way, He made a way. Let me tell you about the God that I believe in. And then that person begins to believe. And they hear and they see your enthusiasm and they see your sincerity and they want to know that God. Because He walks with you and He stops for you and He talks to you. The scripture said, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Father, we see Your love. We see Your love and we see that You are never too busy for any one of us today. Lord, we're so grateful for the privilege to have a relationship with You. We're so grateful that You allow us, once we know You, to share our faith with other people so that they might know You. It's the best thing that's ever happened to us, and we want everybody to know about it. Lord, sometimes the enemy comes and says, "Well, You're not perfect. You didn't do things right, and You keep making mistakes, and You keep messing up," and we begin to doubt. But Lord, I pray that we would not believe that, that we would not believe the lies of the devil, that we would rather be shouters who profess our faith to anyone who will listen, and how we really believe that You have forgiven us and You'll forgive anybody who asks. And so, Lord, we pray that we might be Your instruments to help others come to know You, others who will walk with You, others will be in heaven simply because we've tried to be faithful and obedient and trusted You to bring the results. Lord, we hear Your word that You have lavished on us great love, and we are called children of God because that's what we are. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said,